Brief Encounter by Wendy Richards and Yvonne Connell. Rated PG-13. Submitted April 2000. Read by Cheryl Rowe. Author's Notes. This story got started when I visited Wendy a few weeks ago. Someone suggested it could be fun if we tried writing something together. I mentioned it to Wendy, and before I knew it, she'd given me a page and a half of story to continue. Since then, we've been throwing it back and forth to each other, neither of us knowing what the other would write or even what the plot was. We certainly didn't know it was going to turn out the way it did, although personally I blame Wendy for getting rid of Clark's suit on the first page. Anyway, it was a lot of fun to write. Believe me, when your co-author dumps you in some of the situations Wendy gave me, writing is almost better than... Nah, maybe not. Yvonne. And I can't let that go without commenting. One of the intriguing and, for me, very rewarding parts of this exercise has been the way in which our styles seem to have merged to the point that where we swapped authors midsection, even we can't see the joints, and our much-appreciated test reader, Labrat, had no chance at all. As for the suit, I only suggested that some of it might be missing. It was Yvonne who, oh well, you'll see. Hope you enjoy it. Wendy, who will have to ply Yvonne with alcohol more often. And now, Brief Encounter. I love you, Clark, like a brother. Yes, those words had sounded very familiar, Clark reflected as he flew back to Earth, having managed to destroy what remained of the Nightfall asteroid. Lois did care about him. He knew she did. Her attitude towards him had changed substantially from the days when she barely tolerated him around the newsroom and resented his presence as her partner. Now she was fond of him. She enjoyed working with him and sparring with him and even tolerated his company occasionally outside working hours. And she had been genuinely sorry to see him go when he'd left, temporarily, during the time he'd been persuaded that he was causing the heat wave. But she didn't love him the way he wanted her to love him. Okay, but she did care about him, he reminded himself once again, and she had been very good to him during the couple of days when he'd lost his memory, making sure that he was taken care of, showing him familiar places, and introducing him to the people he knew and worked with every day. She'd even cared enough to want to make sure he wasn't alone when the asteroid was due to strike. She'd cared enough to come and say goodbye. But she didn't love him the way he wanted her to love him. So caught up was he in his own thoughts, he failed to notice that he was re-entering the Earth's atmosphere, and he forgot to slow down. He crashed through the atmosphere almost as fast as he'd done the first time, and most of his suit burned away, his aura simply not effective enough to protect it. Belatedly recalled to an awareness of his surroundings, he grimaced and tried to focus on where he was, but by then he had gathered momentum to such a degree that he was unable to slow down adequately. He came to a crashing, shuddering halt in the alley behind his apartment, his body making a hole several feet wide and a few feet deep in the asphalt. "I was very unfair to Clark," Lois told herself once again as she paced Clinton Avenue for the fifth time. It wasn't as if she didn't know he cared about her, found her attractive and wanted to be more than a friend to her. Even having lost his memory, he'd still seem to know how he felt about her. And once again she had upset and disappointed him by telling him that she cared for him as a friend. A brother, she told him. The last thing Clark wanted to be was her brother, she knew. "But I can't lie to him just to spare his feelings," she argued with her conscience. Yes, her conscience retorted, but she could have let him down gently. And that was why she was here now, to talk to Clark, to see whether they could get this whole issue out in the open. She did care about him, but she wasn't in love with him. She wasn't sure she was even attracted to him. "Yeah, right," her conscience pointed out irritatingly. "Okay," she admitted. "There had been those couple of kisses, but lots of guys can kiss well. It doesn't mean anything. Hadn't meant anything. He was a good friend, her best friend. But as for love, no, not a chance. But they needed to talk. If Clark did have strong feelings for her, he needed to learn to live with them. And if they could get things out in the open, then at least they wouldn't be tiptoeing around each other's sensitivities any longer. They could... What was that? She exclaimed suddenly as a noise, rather like a firework exploding, came from the alley behind her, followed by a crash and a loud groan. Turning abruptly, she hurried off to investigate. Lois rounded the corner and screeched to a standstill. Where the trash cans at the back of Clark's apartment had been earlier in the day when she had bumped into him, there was now a hole. A large hole. She walked up to the edge and peered down, her eyes slowly adjusting to the gloomy alley after the brightness of the sunny day behind her. A man was cautiously picking himself up from the bottom of the crater, looking about him with a confused expression. His dark hair was tousled and matted with dust and debris, his face streaked with black soot. But these details paled into insignificance when stacked up against two very important facts. One, she recognized him, and two, he was stark naked. As soon as her brain registered the information, her eyes were zeroing in with unerring accuracy to the one part of his anatomy she least wanted to look at. Feeling the blood rushing to her face, she dragged her gaze hastily up to his face and kept it there resolutely, willing her peripheral vision not to work in concert with her subconscious to direct her eyes anywhere else. "What happened?" she asked, taking refuge in her reporter's instincts to establish what, when, who, why, and how. He frowned at her for a moment before replying, "I'm not sure." He started to climb out of the hole, causing her to back rapidly away from him. Puzzled by her behavior, he straightened up at the edge of the crater and bent his head forward to brush some of the debris out of his hair. Suddenly, he froze in mid-brush. Lois, her head turned studiously away from him, pulled off her jacket and shoved it towards him. "Here." He took it from her with a muttered thanks, and hastily tied the sleeves around his waist, using the body of the jacket as a makeshift loincloth. "What do you mean you're not sure?" she asked, with a quick glance up to his face. He threw the question back at her. "What do you think I was doing in a crater at the back of an apartment block with, well, like this?" "I have absolutely no idea. Look, Clark, why don't we go back into your apartment and we'll figure this out together?" He looked up at the building above him. "My apartment?" Uh-oh, thought Lois. But it was Clark, wasn't it? Of course it was Clark. She worked with the guy every day, spent most of her waking hours with him. There was no way she wouldn't recognize him. Besides which, she knew that bare chest. An indelible image remained in her mind of the evening she had arranged to pick him up from his hotel, in his very first week at the planet, and she had turned up to find him naked, but for a towel. And for the first couple of seconds, she had been completely and utterly unable to tear her eyes away from that broad, muscular torso. This was the same torso, no doubt about it at all. This was Clark. But what was he doing naked in a hole outside his apartment building? And where had that crater come from? It hadn't been there earlier, had it? She shook her head in disbelief. Somehow, he was making her doubt her own sanity. This very weird partner of hers was standing in front of her, her jacket tied around his waist, staring at her as if he couldn't imagine what she was doing there or what he was going to say to her. There were times when she really thought that Clark Kent had to be from another planet. Oh, God! Clark stared unseeingly at Lois, wondering what the heck he was supposed to do. How on earth was he going to explain his predicament? What possible explanation could Clark Kent come up with for being stranded in the alley behind his apartment with no clothes on? And for the crater, whose appearance Clark certainly couldn't explain. And this was Lois. Of course, it would have to be Lois who had found him. She would never let this drop until she'd managed to extract every last bit of information possible out of him, more than he'd ever intended or wanted to tell her, at least when he'd crashed to Earth a few days earlier, and anyone would have thought he would have learned from that experience. He had been found by a down-and-out who didn't know him from Adam. He hadn't had to identify himself as either Clark or Superman. That was it. That was the other thing which had puzzled him about Lois's response. She'd recognized him as Clark. But how? He had no clothes on. He was a mess, no doubt. He could see soot and dirt still on his hands, and he knew he hadn't managed to get rid of it from the rest of him, and he wasn't wearing his glasses. So why had she identified him as Clark rather than Superman? But okay, she had, he thought quickly, and he could accept that and go up to his apartment. And she would follow him, of course, and then she would interrogate him. And he would have to think pretty darn quickly to come up with some convincing answers. Or he could. He drew himself up to his full height, squaring his shoulders and crossing his arms in front of his chest, putting on the dignified expression he normally assumed when in this posture. Mind you, he'd never before tried to do it when buck naked but for a makeshift loincloth, he mused with an inward grimace, but he was sure he could make it work. Turning his gaze to Lois, he caught the instant look of shock on her face as it dawned on her that her identification had been wrong after all. He then saw several expressions chase themselves across her face. Disbelief, confusion, doubt, followed by appalled horror. Superman? Her voice was a squeaky gasp. Oh, God, it is you. And you're naked. Oh, God, I can't believe... I thought you were Clark. How could I? Oh, Superman, let me help you, she finished in a rush. He inclined his head, maintaining a distant expression. That's all right, Lois, and thank you for your help. He gestured vaguely in the direction of her jacket. I'll get going now. She took a step towards him, reaching out as if to grab his arm, then seemed to think better of it since it was missing its normal spandex cover. Wait, Superman, you can't leave, not like that. He raised one eyebrow in her direction. Well, I mean, you've got no clothes. I can go and get another suit, he said dismissively, preparing to take off. Again, she tried to detain him. But people might see you. Like that, I mean. Trust Lois to argue. Even when confronted with a determined Superman, Clark mused wryly. Lois, I can fly so fast that no one will see me, he pointed out dryly. But she was having none of that either, and he groaned inwardly. All he wanted was for her to go away, leave him alone so that he could fly off and sneak back into his apartment and get changed, and then figure out what he could do to repair the damage in the alley. It wasn't fair that his neighbors should suffer for his carelessness. But then another thought struck him. What was Lois doing here anyway? This was right outside Clark's apartment, after all. That fact suggested that she had been looking for Clark. But why? It was their day off, and they'd made no plans to spend it together. And after the anxiety and trauma of the past few days, he'd got the impression that she was quite relieved at the thought of having some time on her own to wind down. So why was she looking for Clark? Maybe he should find out. But in order to do that, he needed to return as Clark. He pondered again his prospects of actually managing to make his escape, sneaking into his apartment, and then sneaking out again in order to appear to be just arriving home. He could do that. On the other hand, he could see what she had in mind to help Superman, and perhaps get Superman to find out what Lois wanted from Clark. One thing was for sure, she rarely told Clark the whole truth about what she was up to. He deliberately heaved a heavy sigh. Perhaps you're right, Lois. Have you any suggestions? Lois panicked. She'd offered to help, but she had absolutely no idea what form that help might take. All she knew was that she wanted to make amends for mistaking him for Clark, and that she didn't often get the opportunity to help her hero. She glanced around hurriedly for inspiration, her eye lit on a washing line a couple of floors up on the other side of the alley. The fire escape wasn't near enough to the ground for her to reach it, though. Could she ask for Superman's help in stealing someone's belongings, even when it was for his own benefit? She looked back at him and caught him gazing in the same direction as she had been. You could give them back later. If you're quick enough, they wouldn't even have to know they're gone. Lois, I can't. All you need to do is help me up onto the fire escape. I'll do the rest. Come on, scoop, fly, and it'll all be over before you know it. She sidled up a little closer to him, his state of undress making her uncharacteristically shy. Lois, I really don't think this is a good idea, he protested. Yes, he wanted to find out why she had made this special trip to come and see him, but stealing just wasn't in Superman's repertoire of allowable activities. Oh, and you think standing in the middle of the street with only my jacket covering up your... Finding herself running into dangerous territory, she stopped and gestured vaguely in the direction of his lower half instead. If Lois hadn't known better, she would almost have suspected that Superman had been overcome by a sudden sense of mischief. "My?" he prompted innocently with wide eyes and raised eyebrows. She drew herself up with proud dignity and glared. "Your lack of clothes. So, are you going to stand there all day, or are you going to let me help you?" She held her arms out from her sides and looked at him expectantly. "I'm all yours." His eyebrows rose even higher, causing a disconcerted look to interfere with her dignified glare. "I mean, let's get this show on the road," she amended haughtily. Clark checked the knot in her jacket sleeves behind him to reassure himself of its security before gathering her up in his arms and flying her to the first stage of the fire escape. "I'll wait down there," he told her, pointing to a particularly dark spot in the alley. "Call me when you're ready." Lois paused a moment after he left her. She had expected him to grasp her under her arms and lift her up at arm's length, but instead he had carried her up in his usual manner, bringing her much closer to him and allowing her to put her arm around his shoulders, his broad, muscular, naked shoulders, and that chest. Funny how she had thought a few minutes ago that he was Clark, based on her previous acquaintance with her partner's upper torso. Superman was obviously much more well-developed and just, well, more everything, wasn't he? Clark was in good shape, very good shape, she admitted to herself, but he was no Superman. Superman had muscles of steel covered with smooth, warm skin. Wow. She now had direct experience of that, holding on to his bare shoulder with her hand as he carried her up to the fire escape. Psst! A noise from below interrupted her reverie. She peered down to see Superman waving at her from the shadows, pantomiming climbing actions to her. "Okay, okay," she whispered. "Jeesh, first he didn't want her help, and now he was hurrying her up." She climbed up to the washing line, pulled off some clothes, and hurried back down. Seconds later, she was back in the shadows with Superman, feeling her hand tingling from another trip with a naked shoulder. "Here," she said, handing over the clothes. Superman held up the bright red dress in consternation. "This is an improvement?" "Sorry. Apparently Armani doesn't do his washing in this neighborhood," retorted Lois tartly. "That's the best I could do. Hurry up and get changed." She turned her back on him, listened to the rustling sounds behind her for a while, and then a rough clearing of his throat. "Okay," he announced. She turned around. At least the dress was nice and long, she reflected, fighting with her facial muscles, which were doing their best to make her break out into a huge grin. Long sleeves would have been better, though. His biceps were threatening to burst the cuffs of the slightly puffed short sleeves. The ridiculous V-necked frills weren't doing a lot for his magnificent chest, either, although they did have the advantage of hiding his lack of a decent bust to fill the voluminous top. Best of all, the straight skirt was skimming his hips very nicely, the effect somewhat spoiled, however, by the side split, which revealed more masculine leg than was strictly necessary. "Here," he said gruffly, thrusting the jacket into her hands. "Superman," she started, struggling to smother another broad grin. "At least you're decent now." "Depends on your definition of decent, Lois. I don't think this is much of an improvement." "No, I wouldn't throw away the blue spandex just yet. I don't think the city is ready for a cross-dressing superhero." She glanced up at Clark's building. "Maybe we should try and contact Clark. He could bring you some better clothes. In fact, I don't know why I didn't think of that earlier." "I don't think he's in right now." "That's okay. I'll phone him." She pulled out her mobile phone and dialed the number. After a couple of minutes listening, she closed it in disgust. "He's got it switched off. What's the point of a mobile phone if you don't keep it on? Honestly, sometimes I'd swear he's deliberately avoiding me." "Actually, Lois, I don't think he'd mind too much if I kind of forced the lock on his door. I could repair it pretty quickly for him." She sighed. "Why didn't you say that before, instead of making me steal Clark's neighbor's clothes?" "I didn't make..." He stopped, noticing the warning look in Lois's eyes. I'll fly up there, then. Thanks for your help." Despite wanting to talk to her, he couldn't think of a good reason to take her up with him. "Oh, no, you don't. I'm coming with you. I'd like to leave him a message anyway." Clark groaned inwardly. Okay, he had originally stuck around because he wanted to know why Lois was looking for him. But this was swiftly getting embarrassing, as if it hadn't been bad enough standing in front of the woman he loved with only a flimsy jacket held in front of his attributes, and he wasn't sure whether he preferred her thinking that the naked man she had discovered was Clark or Superman. Actually, flying with her in his arms had been nothing short of torture. He hadn't even been able to enjoy holding her. He had been far too concerned with worrying about the jacket slipping, or Lois wriggling and dislodging it, or, worse still, what effect the feel of her hand on his bare shoulder was having on him, and whether she'd noticed it. And, to add insult to injury, she had dressed him in this over-large sack, which masqueraded as a dress. Okay, he probably wouldn't have got into anything smaller, but this was extremely embarrassing, and since he'd allowed Lois to believe that she was with Superman, not Clark, then whenever she saw Superman in future, she would recall the image of him dressed like half of some cheap circus act. She would never take him seriously again. She might even slip it into one of her newspaper articles. She certainly wouldn't have any respect for Superman in the future. But she might drop her crush on him as well, he realized in sudden delight. If she thought her hero really wasn't the macho, masculine type she believed him to be, would she change her opinion of him? The idea was very tempting. He sighed visibly. If you must, he told her, immediately setting out for the steps leading to his apartment without checking to see whether Lois was following or not. He knew that she was close on his heels, however, since his senses had been attuned to this woman since the day he'd met her. He could hear her breathing, smell her own unique scent, sense her behind him. Standing in front of the painted double doors, he considered the various options for getting into the apartment. Normally, when he arrived as Superman, he would simply fly onto the balcony and stroll in from there, but he didn't want to use that method right now, since it would be bound to make Lois wonder why Superman was so familiar with Clark's apartment, or on such friendly terms with Clark that he had his own entry deliberately left open for him. He could simply twist the handle. That would break the lock. He could explain to Lois that he would apologize to Clark later and pay for the repairs, but that would leave her with the impression that Superman was willing to cause criminal damage when it wasn't strictly necessary. He could use his laser vision to melt the lock, but the principle was the same. He was still contemplating options when Lois elbowed him aside. Severely taken aback, he swung around to see what she was doing. He couldn't believe that she had just behaved like that towards Superman. That wasn't anything like the way Lois normally treated her hero, but she wasn't even looking at him. Instead, she was unfolding a paperclip preparatory to using it to unlock the door. Hoping that none of his neighbors could see what was going on, Clark shielded Lois from view as she worked on the lock. He decided that if anyone did see them, he'd prefer the questions to be about why Clark Kent was standing on his doorstep, dressed in something out of a 10-year-old catalog from Fashion for Big Girls, than about why Lois Lane was picking her colleague's lock. But she was fast. Within a few seconds, the door swung open and she waved at him to precede her in. "I guess you know the bedrooms that way," she gestured. "And don't run away, fly away when you're done, okay?" Clark paused on his way to his bedroom, turned back towards Lois, and raised an eyebrow. "Don't fly away, please?" he prompted.
Yes. Please don't fly away," she added quickly. Clark eyed her in surprise. She already seemed to be treating Superman differently as a result of this. Her almost reverential hero worship had vanished out the window, and she was suddenly treating him in almost the same way as she did Clark. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? He wondered. He was beginning to have second thoughts about his plan. But on the other hand, that same irrepressible, unstoppable sense of mischief, which had prevented him from flying away half an hour ago, had returned with a vengeance. How would she treat Superman if... He strolled into his bedroom, pausing in front of the mirror. He did look definitely scruffy, not to mention dirty, and it was hardly surprising that Lois had initially taken him for Clark, despite the absence of glasses. His hair was tousled, which did make a difference, he knew. Shower first, he decided, and in under a second he was allowing the warm, clean water to flow over him. Super speed had its advantages, he reflected, as he quickly dried himself afterwards and arranged his hair in the normal, slicked-back style he wore as Superman. Then he pulled on the red dress again, calling out to Lois at the same time. When she tentatively poked her head around the archway leading to the bedroom, he was standing in front of the full-length mirror, gazing at his reflection. Superman? Good. She sounded as taken aback as he'd hoped. couldn't you find anything of Clark's? I mean, I know you're taller and broader than he is, but there must be something. He turned slowly and smiled at her. I haven't looked yet. I wanted to see how this looked with me cleaned up first. He saw her puzzled expression as she tried to figure out what he meant, and he decided to give her another couple of hints. Well, I know the style's pretty, well, non-existent, and it's too big across the chest, and those puff sleeves look ridiculous on me, but the skirt's not bad, and you have to admit that red is my color. He turned away from her to look at his reflection again, twisting and turning in order to view himself from all possible angles, including getting a good view of the slit which revealed his upper thigh. Something a little more tight-fitting in this shade of red might work. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see her appalled, disbelieving expression. Superman? I know I made that stupid reference to cross-dressing earlier, but you can't really like dressing in women's clothes. He didn't answer immediately, but continued to watch her in the mirror, seeing the mixture of incredulity, appalled fascination, and disillusionment cross her face. That final one, though, was almost his undoing. He hated to see Lois hurt, and the knowledge that he had been responsible for destroying her illusions about Superman made him feel very guilty. He was on the point of confessing that he'd only been teasing when she finally spoke, her words almost tripping over themselves in her haste to get her point across. Superman, you need help. I can't imagine why I never thought of it before. I mean, all the stuff you go through, you see horrible things every day. It's not surprising if you need something for release, but this isn't the way. Look, she added a little more slowly. I know this great therapist. She really helped Lucy earlier this year. I can give you her number if you like. Ouch. Okay, this was going too far. It was one thing to have some fun with Lois, tease her a little, but when it got to the point where she thought he needed psychological help, then things were definitely getting out of hand. That remark about him needing a release had taken him by surprise, though. He hadn't thought that she dwelt very much on Superman's own feelings when it came to dealing with tragedy and disaster on an almost daily basis. He was touched by her concern, and his heart swelled with renewed love at this freshly discovered insight into the softer side of Lois Lane. Now, if he could only get her to care about Clark in the same way, which brought him back to his original puzzle. Why had she made this special effort to come up and see him? First things first, though, he had to assure her that he wasn't in need of psychological help. He sobered up quickly, and he turned away from the mirror to face her. Lois, that's very kind of you. It really is, but how could he put this without offending her? I was just kidding about the dress. No, bad choice, Clark, he thought as he watched her draw back and stare at him angrily. Oh, I see. Having a little fun at my expense, were we? Well, fine. Two can play at that. Want a preview of tomorrow's headline? Let's see. We could have Confessions of a Naked Superman, or Superman Flashes His Credentials, or The Big Guy Not in the Blue Tights. Which one would you prefer, huh? This was going from bad to worse, Clark reflected. All he'd wanted was a quiet chat with her, perhaps persuade her to let him step off the pedestal she'd put him on. But now he'd made her angry at her superhero. Definitely a retrograde step. How could he salvage anything from this embarrassing mess? Come to think of it, maybe that was the problem. His embarrassment was making him behave in this mischievous manner. Lois, I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me. Well, actually, I think maybe I do. This situation is embarrassing, to say the least, and I think I got a little flippant to hide my embarrassment. He tried to look at her with disarming honesty while he made his confession. Trouble was, honesty didn't always work with Lois, but it was the only weapon at his disposal right now. He tried some more. I would never want to make fun of you, Lois. I like you too much to do that to you. I just tried what I thought was a little gentle teasing, but I guess I misjudged it. She regarded him warily. But you don't tease. You're Superman. Clark sighed inwardly. There it was again. Superman, the staid, boring, always right superhero. I do have a sense of humor, Lois, he protested. Yeah, well, trust me, that wasn't funny, she replied with a spark of fire. I guess not. Look, how about we start over again? I'll get changed into something more appropriate, and then we'll talk. Maybe you can help me figure out how to fix that crater I just made. Okay. Just come out wearing something normal this time, would you? I'm sure your parents wouldn't approve of that split. It's not decent for a man your age. Clark pondered his wardrobe. Wear something normal, but don't look like Clark. In Clark's clothes. How was he supposed to do that? Not to mention the fact that he was starting to think about himself in the third person again. God, what this woman did to him. He picked out the tightest T-shirt he could find, hoping it would suggest that he was actually a little too big for Clark's clothes, and pulled on his new jeans, the ones Lois hadn't seen yet. Make sure the hair was slicked back, leave off the glasses, walk tall. If he could pull it off when he was naked, he could surely do it fully clothed. How about some coffee? He asked, strolling back into his lounge. Lois turned around and gaped. That chest again. This time clad in a tight-fitting black T-shirt, his upper arm stretching out the short sleeve, crisp new jeans and white trainers to finish the ensemble. My God, he looked good in spandex, but in real clothes he was just... Perfect, she replied in a distracted voice. She was vaguely aware of him looking curiously at her, but then he moved across to the kitchen to start fishing out the coffee things. That chest. There was something about it which was oddly familiar. Nah. She remembered how she'd mistaken him for Clark at first, basically on the evidence of that smooth upper torso she'd come face to face with so abruptly a few months ago. Okay, so they were a similar build, but that was all. She watched him move with easy familiarity around Clark's kitchen. Well, of course he would, since he and Clark were good friends, and obviously some of Clark's teasing had rubbed off on him as well, and that was why he had behaved so mischievously before. Not that she had completely forgiven him for that yet. She wasn't used to being teased by Superman, and he had to learn that teasing Lois Lane was a risky thing to do, just as she had taught Clark the exact same lesson. Not that he ever seemed to get the message. Of course, if she was completely honest with herself, she would acknowledge that she quite liked the fact that he dared to tease her when no one else would. It made her feel as though she had at last found an equal in partnership. Or more? Asked her irritating subconscious. No, she reminded herself. She had come here to talk things out with Clark about that, to let him know that she cared for him, but no more. No more. Here you are. His proffered mug of coffee interrupted her thoughts. Thanks, she replied, watching him settle down in the easy chair beside the sofa she was sitting on. I like the heat vision thing. What? You know. She held out the mug and gazed down intently at it. Oh, I guess I use it without thinking these days, he answered with a smile. These days? Interesting. So he wasn't always so comfortable with his powers. She filed that away for future probing. So, she said, not sure where the conversation was going now that they were settled. So, he replied equally awkwardly. Definitely an improvement, she nodded at his attire. Thanks. Actually, it really suits you. Black, I mean. Careful, Lois, don't gush. You think so? I thought the blue and red... Oh, it's very nice. But the black is just... Well, it suits you, she repeated lamely. Maybe Clark might lend it to me if I asked him. Maybe. They both smiled at each other and took a sip of coffee. Lois eyed him over her mug. I guess you don't really have to do that. What? She's got you off balance again, he thought. Oh, you mean this? He sipped from his mug again. Yes. Why don't you just drink it normally? Yes. Why don't I? Because I'm dressed as Clark, so I'm acting like Clark. Darn. He laughed nervously. Habit, I guess. Habit. She repeated skeptically. Yes, habit. Okay, Clark, give it up now. Just admit you're Clark and Superman all rolled together in one package and then... But what about all those reasons he knew by heart why he shouldn't tell her? I see. Two more sips of coffee. Thanks for helping me back there, tried Clark, and I really am sorry about the dress. I shouldn't have teased you. No, you shouldn't. A corner of her mouth curled up as she recalled what he had looked like in it. You did look very fetching, though. He smiled. I told you red was my color. And you do know I was kidding about those headlines, don't you? Lois, I trust you. I know you would never do anything like that. Besides, I doubt Mr. White would approve of his newspaper printing tabloid headlines like those. No question of approval or disapproval. He'd probably send me off for psychological counseling if I tried anything like that. I guess he would, and Clark wouldn't be too happy either. Why had he said that, he wondered. The last thing he wanted was to make Lois associate Clark and Superman in her mind. wasn't it?" But Lois didn't seem to react to his remark. She seemed to be lost in thought. He wondered what she was thinking about, and then remembered that one of the reasons, okay, his principal reason, for sticking around instead of just flying off was to find out what she wanted to see Clark about. Okay, he acknowledged, if he did just fly off, he would come back almost immediately as Clark, and she would then tell him. But his instinct was telling him that she probably wouldn't be completely open with Clark about what was on her mind. Whereas, if Superman encouraged her to speak frankly to him, she just might do that, if he hadn't put her off completely by his ridiculous kidding around earlier. Lois sipped at her coffee, surreptitiously observing Superman over the rim of her mug. He looked so different, dressed in ordinary street clothes. She would guess that if they walked down the street together, hardly anyone would recognize him as Superman. It was that suit, she reflected, visualizing it in her mind. The suit itself was so eye-catching, with its primary colors and the very close-fitting design, that when he wore it, anyone could be forgiven for not looking at his face. That would be how she'd mistaken him for Clark, Lois decided, feeling a hot flush as she again remembered the sight of Superman, tall and very handsome and distinctly naked, climbing out of the crater. His body was every bit as good as she'd imagined it in all those dreams and fantasies. She'd never imagined having a chance to find out. Stop thinking about that, she told herself, conscious that the object of her fantasies was sitting a mere 5 feet away from her. Thank goodness he couldn't read minds. She forced herself to concentrate on what was really important. She was in Clark's apartment with Superman, and no Clark, and the Man of Steel had just returned from smashing the remainder of the Nightfall asteroid. Okay, the Eprad scientists had already told the world that Superman had succeeded, but no one had spoken to Superman himself since he'd returned, nor had anyone managed to find out exactly where he'd been in those nightmarish few days after his first attempt. And she now had the man all to herself. What an exclusive interview this could be. But she stole another look at him. He looked so relaxed, sitting there in Clark's overtight T-shirt and jeans. This was a sight of Superman she had never seen before. He was usually in a hurry to leave, never stayed around just to chat. And yet, here he was, having a casual conversation with her over coffee. He'd even dropped his usual very formal demeanor and revealed himself to have a sense of humor. A very strange sense of humor, apparently, though admittedly he had apologized for leading her to think he was a transvestite. He had even relaxed his guard a little. He never answered personal questions normally. He hadn't even told her his name when she'd asked before. And yet, a little while ago, she'd referred to his parents. And instead of clamming up, he had just grinned. So clearly he had parents somewhere. On Krypton, maybe? Not to mention that throwaway remark about not always having been so comfortable with his incredible powers. This could be an opportunity to really find out the full Superman story. But as soon as the idea hit her, she discarded it. Sure, when Superman had first appeared on the scene, all she had wanted was the story. But now he had become something more. Of course she was crazy about him, but she also regarded him as a friend. And to use an opportunity like this to pump him for information, which she would then use to get an exclusive, would be a fundamental betrayal of their friendship. Besides, it would also be a waste of this precious time with him. But she was torn. What about the Nightfall story? Perry would kill her if he knew she'd had this great opportunity and hadn't taken it. Clark would have already seized it with both hands. She knew that. Clark was always getting Superman exclusives. She wondered how. But now that she saw how familiar Superman was with the interior of Clark's apartment, she understood. He was obviously a regular visitor. Which meant that Clark, farm boy Kent, had been holding out on her. That sneaky no good, and he called himself her partner, her friend, some friend. And to think she'd come over here to talk about his feelings for her, and to find some way to help him overcome them so they could be just good friends. Superman's voice broke in on her musings. His tone amused. Lois, are you still here? Or do I need to rescue you from the planet Zod? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I was thinking. She almost spilled her coffee as she turned to stare at him, dropping her gaze almost immediately as his broad grin and dancing eyes disconcerted her completely. Oh. He merely raised one eyebrow this time, apparently enjoying her discomfiture. She sighed. He probably thought it was only fair that she be embarrassed now, since he'd had more than his share of it earlier. Okay. Laying her coffee cup on Clark's low table, she raised her gaze to Superman again. "Well, I guess I was just thinking about this, I mean, being here with you like this. I mean, it's not something that happens a lot, you know?"
"I suppose not," he agreed softly.
"Yeah, and well, I was kind of torn. I mean, I'm a reporter. You know that. And you're the biggest story around right now. I should be interviewing you. I should have spent the past half hour interviewing you."
"But you didn't," he pointed out.
"No, and if Perry knew, he'd have me covering dog shows," she said wryly.
"So? You want to interview me?"
He sounded a little disappointed, she thought. "Well, I shouldn't. And that's the weird thing, Superman. I'm very ambitious. Well, I guess you know that. I've already won 3 Kurth Awards, and I want more. I want a Pulitzer. And if I could get that definitive Superman interview, or even a good interview about the Nightfall, well, that would be very good for me."
She shrugged, thinking Superman would wonder why she was being so diffident about it. He wouldn't understand.
"You're a brilliant journalist, Lois," he told her softly. "But if you want that definitive interview, well, the problem is that I'm just not ready to give it." He smiled apologetically. "I may be, someday. And if I am, you'll give it to Clark," she interrupted. He looked very surprised at that. "Why do you think that?"
"Well, you and Clark are very close, aren't you?"
It had to be her imagination. Did Superman look uncomfortable? He didn't answer for a moment, but then he nodded.
"Yeah, I guess you could say we're close."
He looked away for a moment, then added, "If you want an interview about Nightfall, go ahead."
But she shook her head.
"That's the problem, Superman. Yes, I want that interview. But it's been so nice just talking with you like this. You've never been this relaxed with me before. And if I start interviewing you, that'll change. You'll switch into your public mode."
"Ah," he was silent for a few moments. "And you don't want that."
"Well, I guess I'd just like us to talk for a while, as friends."
A strange expression crossed his face, and she wondered why.
Surely he had people he considered friends. He had Clark.
"Yeah, I'd like that too, as long as no one needs me," he answered after a few moments. "Tell you what, I'll give you the interview as well later. If I have to go first, I'll come and see you at your apartment or the planet."
Did he feel lonely sometimes, Lois wondered. It sounded as if he didn't get a lot of opportunities to talk to people like this. But then most of the time she supposed people wanted him for what he could do for them, either by rescuing him or giving them information.
"So, Lois, you said you had something you wanted to talk to Clark about," he interrupted her thoughts. His mention of Clark took her by surprise, and she flushed.
"Yeah, well, I guess maybe not what I originally planned."
"What do you mean?" She grimaced.
"Clark's been holding out on me, hasn't he? He's supposed to be my partner, yet it's obvious you and he are a lot closer than he ever told me. I mean, you know your way around his apartment. You have no problem with being here, even though he's not. You knew where to find things in the kitchen."
Superman squirmed.
There was no other word for it. He squirmed.
And Lois started to put the clues together. He'd landed just outside Clark's apartment, which meant that had to have been his destination. He seemed completely at home in Clark's place. He knew where to find Clark's clothes. He'd admitted he and Clark were close. She'd bet they were close. Okay. If Superman had been a closet transvestite, that would have been news. Not that she would have printed it. But this was bigger news still. Superman and Clark Kent were... She had to stop and take a deep breath before she could even voice the thought to herself. It certainly explained an awful lot about both Clark and Superman. It all added up. It was the only explanation for all the weird coincidences. Clark and Superman were... No, she couldn't even think about it.
"I guess, well, I have been here quite a few times," Superman conceded, looking distinctly uncomfortable. "My God, he's even admitting it to himself now," thought Lois.
"He lets me keep some spare suits here, you see," he continued.
"And they share a wardrobe. That was it. You share a wardrobe with someone, you have to be practically married to them."
"Lois?" he prompted, and looking up, she noticed the anxious expression on his face.
Okay, she could handle this. She was liberal-minded, and what did it matter to her if the two most gorgeous-looking men she'd ever met had decided that they felt the same way about each other? It was a criminal waste of... resources. But who was she to stand in the way of true love? She arranged her face into an encouraging smile.
"Of course he does.
I guess when you're around here so often, it's handier to keep a few suits in his wardrobe rather than go home for a clean one. Exactly. He relaxed back in his chair, obviously more at ease now that she had accepted his explanation. She was pretty sure he hadn't realized just how much he had given away, though, and she wasn't entirely sure she was going to let on what she had worked out. Although, he had looked pretty lonely when she had mentioned talking together as friends. Maybe he needed someone to share his secret with. So, Superman, I guess it's nice having Clark to talk to when things get tough. You probably need that with all the horrible things you have to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what close friends are for.
Yes.
Sharing things, he nodded. Coming home after a hard day's rescuing people, relaxing on the sofa together, maybe having a glass of wine, cooking a meal together. Now he was looking distinctly wistful, she thought. Maybe the path of true love wasn't always a smooth one. Maybe they'd had a tiff recently. If that was the case, then he really could do with someone to talk it through with. I guess you have arguments like any other couple, though, don't you? She asked with the best sympathetic tone she could muster. But instead of the sad nod of acquiescence she was expecting, his eyebrows shot up into his hairline as he stared at her.
Couple?
He asked incredulously.
Yes, you and Clark. It's okay, Superman. You don't have to keep up the pretense any longer. Your secret's safe with me. I have to admit I was a little shocked to begin with, but I understand. I mean, Clark's a good-looking guy. Who wouldn't want to fall in love with someone with his looks and charm? Actually, for a moment, I even wondered whether I might be falling for him. But, well, you beat me to it, didn't you? She finished wryly.
Lois?
She was slowly beginning to regret her honesty. He was looking pretty agitated now that she'd brought things out into the open for him. How could she make him feel better about this?
I think it's wonderful that you've found each other. You're obviously made for each other. You look about the same age. You're obviously both a little lonely. You share the same caring attitude towards other people, and you even look a little alike. I bet people think you're twins when you're out together, huh? Of course, it would be great if you were able to come out of the closet someday. You'd be a wonderful ambassador for the gay community, you know?
Lois, I am not gay.
Superman, I told you it's okay.
Lois, believe me, I am the least gay person I know, and so is Clark. Not gay, I mean. I don't know what I said to you to make you think either one of us was, but trust me, we're as heterosexual as you are.
She peered at him. You're sure?
Of course I'm sure. We're close, but not that close.
Oh.
Clark flopped back in his chair. First a transvestite, then she thinks he's gay. Was there no end to this woman's fertile imagination?
His chances of any sort of romantic entanglement with Lois seemed to be receding further and further away as they stumbled through misunderstanding after misunderstanding. All he wanted was a quiet chat with Lois Lane, and the chance to find out why she'd come to visit him, he repeated to himself. Was that so hard? Now he supposed she'd be back to her original misconception that he, Clark Kent, had been holding out on her about how close he was to Superman. In a way, that was very true, unfortunately. Perhaps it really was time to give up the pretense, as she had said, and admit his secret to her. It would make things so much simpler than all this verbal dancing they'd been engaging in. And then they could actually move on in this partnership, friendship, whatever it was, instead of going around in circles. After all, hadn't she just admitted that she was perhaps even starting to fall for him? The thought excited him tremendously. And then there was that picture she'd painted for him. A fond couple relaxing together after work. It had sounded so attractive. Just what he wanted, in fact. However, he wasn't going to get anywhere near it without some painful honesty. He took a deep breath. There is something I have to tell you, though. About to rush into the big confession, he paused, suddenly scared of saying the words. What should he say to her?
Lois, I'm Clark.
Or should he just grab his spare pair of glasses and put them on and let her see for herself? How would she react? Would she be mad or glad? Would she be willing to consider a closer relationship with him? Would she simply scream and run out of his apartment? Well, he could only try, and he was tired of the lies and the excuses if he was honest with himself, so. Her voice intruded on his thoughts as he rehearsed his words. "There's something I want to talk to you about, too, Superman," she murmured softly. He jerked his head up to meet her gaze. She was smiling, a warm expression in her eyes. "Come and sit next to me?"
"Why?"
he asked wearily. She looked taken aback. I think I'd find it easier if you were over here."
Okay. Well, he could tell her the truth just as easily sitting next to her, perhaps more easily if he could hold her hand or something as he was doing it.
With an economy of movement, he stood up, moved around the low table, and joined her on the couch, leaving a couple of feet between them. She slid a little closer, and, as if she'd read his mind, she took his hand between her two small ones. "Lois, Superman." He smiled crookedly. "You go first." It would give him some time to think about how he should explain, he thought, his attention drifting from Lois for a moment. Lois regarded her companion for a moment or two. He was so different like this, so much more approachable, more human. If he'd been wearing his suit, she would never have dreamed of telling him how she felt, but now, and especially now, he'd made such a point of letting her know that he wasn't gay. What a crazy roller coaster ride they'd had during the past half hour, she reflected, finding him in that crater, then dressing him in that ridiculous dress, then the stupid transvestite thing, and the even more embarrassing gay misunderstanding. One thing was for sure, life was never dull when Superman was around, besuited, in civvies, or she got a sudden flash of him without his clothes on, remembering the glimpse she'd had of his credentials. Well, more than a glimpse, actually. The image was indelibly burned in her mind, and it made her feel all hot and bothered just thinking about it. But now he was sitting beside her, watching her patiently while she formulated her words, looking drop-dead gorgeous in that black T-shirt and smart jeans. She knew how that made her feel. And she'd seen the envious, regretful expression on his face when she'd been talking about companionship. It was obvious that the man was lonely. He needed someone to love, someone to be there for him, to listen to him, to care for him, to love him. Her thoughts turned briefly to Clark. She had been wondering whether her feelings for him were more than just friendship, but now that she'd seen this new and quite different side to Superman, she knew that while she was fond of Clark, she was quite probably head over heels in love with Superman, and Superman needed her in a way that Clark didn't. "Superman, I want you to know that you've always been special to me, right from the moment I first saw you," she began softly, gazing up at him from under her eyelashes. She thought he seemed a little taken aback, but she hurried onwards, determined that she was going to say this. I've known for a long time that my feelings towards you weren't just friendship. I know you care about me, and I'm hoping that maybe you might feel the same way. I think I love you, Superman. End of part one. This has been a Lois and Clark fanfic recording. Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman and Related Characters are copyrighted by Time Warner Incorporated. Some situations and dialogue may have been borrowed from the show. No copyright infringement is intended. Authors and readers receive no monetary benefit from their work. For more information and to see and hear other stories, please visit lcfanfic.com.